KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Adam Gardner, and we are. This is the best 2 hours of radio you
Agreed.
Possibly could be listening to.
Easily.
To know all the things you need to know, don't you think, Adam?
Absolutely.
And I feel like if there are other things you need to know, what you want to be doing is texting breaking, B-R-E-A-K-I-N-G, to 57500, because Adam, what happens when they do that?
They get an alert. They get all the breaking news.
That's right. So if something's happening in the world and it's not 7 to 9 p.m. and you're not listening to the best 2 hours of radio, like you can get a text that says, northbound I-15, there's a crash. I have found it very helpful because every once in a while I need to know like where something has happened. Make sure you're texting the word breaking to 57500. All right, Adam, let's get into some politics, if that's okay.
Begrudgingly. All right.
Begrudgingly. Ready? So I feel like House Republicans are having some problems, man.
You know what? I disagree. We actually don't make any mistakes.
You do not have people who are like, let's just have a speaker fight twice in 8 months because that's for fun.
You know what? The fact that we have a speaker is a win for us, and I don't think you should take that away.
I love this. And they, well, all right. So you're wrong, but I'll let you say what you just said. But the answer basically, right, is that the House Republicans, it's unruly.
Yeah.
So they've got one vote majority. And I'm going to tell you what, in Congress, if you're going to actually want to do anything, you needed to have a much bigger margin of error there, or you've got to have your ducks marching in the same row.
The other alternative is you can work with the other side of the aisle and you can have compromise. I learned that in my Congress class.
Warm and fuzzy. That's beautiful.
Taught by Dr. Murray at Weber State. So, you know what? I think that's really important that Speaker Mike Johnson has kind of figured a lot of that out. He went in really as a hardliner. And
yeah.
I think that his caucus, the majority of his caucus, right? The majority of Republicans are saying, we want to go this way. And he's seeing that, yeah, maybe that is the right way to go. And that this the Freedom Caucus, people that he actually kind of identified with, they really liked him. Maybe they're obstructing regular order. And the Democrats have the same problem, but they're not in charge. So they
right.
don't have to worry
about
it.
They don't have to talk about it.
They don't have to talk about it.
Right, right.
It is very, can I just tell listeners out there?
Yeah.
One of my mentors is Congressman Rob Bishop. And I said, what do you like being in the minority or the majority more? And he goes, the minority is way easier to be in because you just get to yell and say no to everything.
Yeah.
The majority
has to
governing
govern.
Is hard. And so I enjoy being in the minority when I don't want to have to do anything, but being in the majority is really hard to govern. And we're seeing that played out in spades in Congress right now. And so you have these different factions of the House. You have the ultra progressive Democrats, and then you have your blue dog moderate folks,
yeah.
and then you have your more moderate conservative Republicans, and then you have your Freedom Caucus folks. And so Speaker Johnson is having to kind of juggle the needs of the entire body in the entire country with just a few members of his caucus that could derail everything that he wants to do.
So talk to us about what does that look like when Hakeem Jeffries basically says, if Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I think she's going to do it next week, brings up this motion to vacate. First of all, by the way, change the rule. Right, Adam?
Right.
It has got to be the case that we've now played enough with this fun rule of only one person in the House can move to get rid of, to vacate the speaker.
Right.
I feel like we've got to have some minimum threshold. If you were thinking, what would you think would be the right number? 20, 40?
I think somewhere around 40.
Yeah, okay.
Makes
yeah.
a lot more sense. You got to have it. You have to build coalitions to oust somebody.
It. Oh, so, I love that. Right.
The Freedom Caucus has 20, 25 people
right.
in it. And so you don't want that caucus to still hold all the power. So you need them to be able to join with another clique
gotcha.
In Congress
no,
to
I
actually
love that.
Get something done.
So if you're going to vacate somebody, you actually have to talk to somebody who's not at your table
that
at
doesn't
lunch.
Just believe
everything
that
you believe. Right. Okay. So let's say, first of all, A, we got to change that rule. So I think that's got to happen. I love your answer. And maybe it's a rule that moves or something. You're like, when we count the caucuses in the House,
yeah.
whatever the number is has to be
it's
five
just never
more.
Been, let's be honest, it's never been an issue before. So
oh, okay.
we've never had to worry about vacating the chair. This was a deal made with Speaker McCarthy and Matt Gaetz saying, I know I'm not going to like you, and now I'm going to lord that over you the entire time that you're speaker. And it took 9 votes for him to get ousted. 9.
Right.
In the entire body. So the Democrats allowed that to happen. They did not save Speaker McCarthy. They are not friends.
Right, because they hated him.
They hated him.
He had baggage. Yeah.
And the Democrats calculated that this is going to make us look like great governors, right? So we're going to let this all play out. We're all going to vote as a block for Hakeem Jeffries, and we're going to look like the ones that are ready and prepared to govern because we can make a decision. They have not taken that same step this time. What they're saying is we're going to save Mike Johnson. And then they're taking a different route, but the result is the same. It's during an election year. Everyone's really heated, and they can say, you know what? We're the ones that are prepared to govern. We're not going to oust the speaker. And it shows the public, the American public, that they're kind of pulling the strings.
Right.
That's what it's looking like.
Yeah. And also that they look bipartisan,
mm-hmm.
which I think a lot of Americans kind of feel like, wouldn't it be nice if everyone actually worked together? Does that make sense? It's opposed to. Do you think that does damage to Jeffries going forward at all?
I don't think so. I think his caucus is pretty behind
pretty tight
him.
And okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, and they made some pretty stringent demands. They wanted Ukraine funding. They wanted funding for Israel. We did a China bill. And
so they pretty much got everything they wanted.
And so did the Republicans. The Republicans wanted a lot of these things too. And they went along with him. These were overwhelming votes. They funded the government. They don't have a lot on him.
Right.
The Republicans, especially in the Senate, said, we're not going to handle anything with Ukraine until we get a border security bill. And all sides kind of agreed, well, fine, you're tying our hands. If we can't do anything with Ukraine, let's write a border security bill. And so you had members of House Republicans and Democrats, Senate Republicans and Democrats got together over months and months and wrote a bipartisan bill and said, here we go. And even the Border Patrol Union, mm-hmm. who does not like Democrats, does not like President Biden, said, hey, guys, this is actually pretty good.
That's the right bill.
We've never had this type of authority before. You guys should pass this. And by the way, it gives us a little more funding. And Democrats kind of called the Republicans bluff, and Republicans led kind of by Donald Trump said, no, don't ever pass this bill, because when I become president, I want to fix it. Don't let them fix
it. Right. Don't give a win to Biden.
Don't give a win to Biden and the Democrats. And so Republicans walked away from the table, and they totally called our bluff.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of left hat in hand. And so the Republicans realized we have to start legislating. We have to get things done. We have to fund the government. Now it's incumbent upon us to do these things and kind of ignore this right wing of our caucus to govern.
So one of the things that happened today or yesterday is GOP leaders in the House. So we've been picking on them. So let's talk about something super specific. Now have a new oversight investigation plan, right? So they are going to bring in elite universities that are pro-terrorist, anti-Semite, right? So the answer is, not that the universities are, the protests, I think, is what they're talking about, right, Adam? So the answer is, what we're seeing is all sorts of people on elite universities that are pro-terrorists, anti-Semites, they're taking over these campuses. We must give, so this is a quote from Representative Michael Lawler, Republican from New York, we must give the Department of Education the tools to hold college administrators accountable for refusing to address anti-Semitism on their campus. It's interesting, a majority of Democrats joined. So that was approved.
This was not a close vote.
320-91. So what do you think? I mean, like, were Republicans hoping that would set up a fight and it didn't pan out for them? Or what do you think?
No, I think this goes back to something you said earlier where the Democrats are having a really tough time on this issue and they don't want to talk about it. Republicans want to keep this in voters' minds because they see it really fracturing the Democratic caucus.
Yeah.
And this is a win. But also, a lot of the Democratic caucus agrees with this position. So they're going to vote for it because it makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how all that plans out. And stay with us, listeners, because coming up next, we're going to talk about President Biden speaking about the protests. So we'll just stay with this topic.